السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, I always say that it is important that we should have our aqeedah correct whenever we get together on such an occasion. We must have our aqeedah correct, that it is not compulsory, it is not farz, it is not wajib to hold such kind of special occasion celebrations. But because it is an incident which is no doubt one of the greatest of miracles of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam after the Holy Quran Sharif, therefore just to revise our lesson and to create a bit of interest in obeying Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we say a few things on such occasions. But in reality, the night of Mi'raj was that night in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ascended the heavens. It's not like Shab-e-Barat, which comes on the 15th of Shaban every year, and virtues have been mentioned of what to do on that particular night, to stay awake, to make ibadat, etc., etc. Nevertheless, as I said, that we'll be revising our lesson, because I don't have any new kitab to discuss something new about Mi'raj. People say, must speak something new now on Mi'raj occasion, or something about Mi'raj. What else can we discuss except that which in the kitabs? So whether it is this year or next year or the year after, we are going to still discuss the same hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It could be a little different approach, but the fact is that there is nothing more we can say except that which is in the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, as we have heard on previous occasions too, he was going through a very, very difficult and trying period in his life. The persecution had now reached a limit. There was no question of any pulling back of punches by the kuffar and the mushrikeen of Makkah, Mukarrama. The worst of tortures that we can think of, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions were going through. Spitting on the face of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was like a joke. Uqba bin Mu'id ties his cloth round the neck of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam and he drags him. When Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu tries to save him, he also gets beaten up. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in sajda, intestine of animal is put on his back. Total boycott of 3 solid years. Ostracism and boycott, social boycott. No marriages, no food, nothing. The Sahabas mentioned that the time came when they had to chew leather to survive. You think Allah Ta'ala could not have sent a dastarkhan from the heavens for His beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But it was a consolation for those who were going to come after Him, that if you want to do the propagation of this message of Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you have to be prepared in the early stages for insults, for criticism, for torture, for persecution. Of course, in our times, there's not so much of it. But still, if we have to look at those prisoners in Guantanamo Bay, in cages they are there. and some shocking revelations have come to our knowledge of the treatment of these prisoners. For what else is that treatment, if not for the fact that they also said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So now where will they get consolation? They will think, our Allah Ta'ala has forsaken us, our Allah Ta'ala has deserted us. So now that person will get some kind of himmat and courage and strength in his persecution and torture, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the closest to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Badas khuda wuzruk tuyi qissa mukhtasar, if he could have been put through such trials and tests, then who are we? Ordinary mortals. So the person gets some kind of himmat and courage when he knows that somebody already went through this type of trials and hardships. Otherwise a person will commit suicide, the person will take his life, or the person will give up Islam. He will say, alright, release us, we'll give up our Islam. So what is it that keeps them so firm and strong? It is these incidents which we read of in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. 3 solid years of boycott. The mothers, their babies are crying for milk, but there's no food that went into their system, then how can they produce milk? They say, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, we are thirsty, but there's no milk. Then again in that 10th year, Rasul-e-Pak, he loses his uncle. Of course, as far as the incidents of torture are concerned, they are so numerous that we cannot even discuss them. But just to give that little background is necessary and important to understand Mi'raj. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam loses his uncle. Now that uncle, although he did not accept Islam, but he was a great support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Now they went to his uncle in fact and told him that stop your nephew from preaching and propagating. If he wants wealth, we will give him all the wealth that he wants. If he wants woman, we will give him the best of our daughters. If he wants to be our king and ruler, we will make him our king. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh my dear uncle, even if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, I will not give up this mission of mine. So this uncle who was his support, he passes away. Then his dear beloved wife who sacrificed everything for Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cause. Ah, what a woman that was. We will say that she was a multimillionaire in today's times. But everything that she had, she gave it to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the sake of his deen, and she also underwent the same 3 years of boycott and ostracism. Difficult time. She never complained that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what kind of deen is this, what kind of Islam is this, that when I accepted it, whatever I had also went away. So first the person is put through some tests, certain things are taken away. When he makes those sacrifices, then Allah Ta'ala gives him so much, that he does not have place to keep it. And if not in this world, then in the Akhirat. But even in this world, Allah Ta'ala then gave them empires. The Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, it fell at their feet. So much of gold and silver and other currency and other items were flowing into Madinah Sharif as spoils of war, that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in were not even interested in looking at it. So much they got afterwards. But first the sacrifices, the trials, the tests. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this difficult condition of his, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put into his mind that now he should try outside Makkah Mukarramah. So he went about 60 miles away to Taif, thinking that those people will accept Islam. But there again he was confronted with those leaders who abused him, who criticized, who mocked, who ridiculed, said Allah ta'ala did not find anybody else to make a prophet besides you. Another one says that if you are a prophet of Allah, you are a messenger of Allah, then it is not befitting of me to talk to you. And if you are not a prophet of Allah and not a messenger of Allah, then why should I waste my time talking to you? So both ways, why should I talk to you? But if they had stopped at that also, we would have said it is ghanimat. But instead of that, what they did, they put those young people behind Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who stoned him so much that the Mubarak shoes of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam got filled with his Mubarak blood. One drop of the blood of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam is far more precious than the heavens and the earth and everything that it contains. How much of blood flowed for the sake of the Ummah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prays to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala sends the angels of the mountains. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you say that we can crush these people between the mountains. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, give hidayat to these people of mine, give them guidance, because they haven't recognized me. They haven't recognized me as the Rasul of Allah ta'ala. Give them guidance. And if they don't accept Islam, somebody from their progeny will accept Islam. Now that was the magnanimity, the large-heartedness, the forgiveness of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such conditions. We cannot forgive for trivial things today. Small little items. There's World War III in homes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, at such a time Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes him for Miraj to show him that what is in store for these people who are going through these difficult days with you. What is in store for those who are obedient to you and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What is in store for those who are making these sacrifices for the sake of your Mubarak Deen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to show Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to show him that what is in store for these enemies who are persecuting, torturing, those who are throwing these intestines of animals on your back, and those who are spitting on your face, and those who are tying the rope around your neck and wanting to drag you, and those who are boycotting you, if they don't accept Islam and don't make tawbah, then what is for them? And also from amongst your ummah, those who will obey you, then what will be for them? Up till the day of Qiyamah, whoever is going to come, what will be for them? And what will be for them who don't obey you and indulge in all those sins and vices which have become so common in our society today? So Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken for Miraj. Now just to give you the gist of that Miraj again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was lying down at the home of Umm Hani. From there he says the roof split open. Because many of our young friends may be hearing it for the first time too. Many times it happens, the person says, first time I heard it. So the roof opened, and the angel, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, came and said, Allah ta'ala is desirous of meeting you. All the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala were given their miraj on earth. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was called. Transport was made. So transport arrangement was made for him. So first of all, he was taken through the roof. Now the roof was split open with the qudrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The angels, they do not require any kind of keys to enter any doors. So they entered through the roof. Now what was the need to enter through the roof? It is mentioned to show Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that just as this roof split open, we took you out of it. And then again, the roof sealed as if nothing had happened. In the same way, soon we are going to split open your chest and we are going to remove your heart. But you don't have to fear, because it will happen with the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So it will seal again. In those days, no heart transplants had taken place. In fact, until many, many years after that, until just recently, whenever you read some book by some Orientalist or some others, enemies of Islam, then they made a mockery of this Miraj incident. Because they had never heard of operations. It hadn't taken place anywhere in the world. So they thought, how is it possible to slice the chest and remove the heart and replace it? But now with all the transplants taking place, nobody even bats an eye. It has become universally accepted that there's nothing serious about it. It can happen. But at that time it was a mu'jaza, and it is still a mu'jaza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not taken to any hospital. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not given any anesthetic. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not connected to all those tubes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's operation was not done in the way that it is done in modern days. Within seconds, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's chest was opened, his heart was removed, it was washed in the water of Zamzam, and it was replaced, filled with iman and hikmah. The question I always say is, arises that why it was filled with iman and hikmah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what was this iman and hikmah that was filled? They say that was the preparation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's iman was at a height, his hikmah was at a height, but yet to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there had to be additional fuel that had to be put in. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was then, after that, taken on the buraq. Now this buraq was brought from Jannat for Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and it was from barq, that means lightning, the speed of it was like lightning. Up to where its eyes could see, that was its first step. Therefore within seconds it was at Masjid al-Aqsa. Now Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had not travelled to, he had not seen Masjid al-Aqsa. But he was taken first to Masjid al-Aqsa. Cutting out all the details in between, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw at Masjid al-Aqsa that there were thousands of prophets of the past, 124,000 Nabis of the past, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given them life to be there. And as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, that now you have to make the imamat. Now that was to show that this Nabi of mine, he is the Imamul Anbiya. And to show to the world that if you want success, then there is no option but to follow this Nabi. We have made him the Imamul Anbiya. He was made the Imamul Anbiya, leading the imamat. Also it is said that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif about Zulaykha and Yusuf, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and Zulaykha, that Zulaykha wanted to show why she is passionately in love with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Although Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam preferred to go to prison than to disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said, Rabbi sijnu ahubbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayya. Oh Allah, it is better for me. I dearly love to go to prison. He says, it's more beloved to me to go to prison than to commit zina. Now she was the wife of a king, but Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam showed to the world how a young person should restrain himself. He should not fall for temptation. Nevertheless, when Zulaikha's friends taunted her and told her that what is this, ND 375-759, please go and remove your car. So what she did is she gave each one a knife and a lemon. And she told Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that he must pass by there. So instead of cutting the lemon, they cut their fingers. He was so handsome. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to show that those women, they cut their fingers when they saw the husn of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to show the angels that look at the husn of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or in his ummah, scientific research was going to rise to its zenith and peak. They were going to come up with so many new inventions and so many new discoveries. So Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taken above the seven heavens to show that nobody will be able to match this feat of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His miracle nobody will be able to match. Also another incident that occurred there was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tied his camel to that stone where the Nabis of the past used to tie tied the buraq to that stone where the Nabis of the past used to tie their animals. Again to show to mankind that this is a world of means. So nothing stops us and prevents us. In fact, we should make use of the means. We should tie our camel and then trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nobody says that you must leave your shop open, the doors open, don't put any burglar guard, don't put any security or any alarm there, and say, I am trusting in Allah Ta'ala. close the doors, put your burglar guards, put your alarm systems, but don't trust in those systems. Trust in Allah Ta'ala alone. If Allah Ta'ala wills, then you will be protected, and if Allah Ta'ala does not will, then with all those systems, the person will not be protected. How many people, they live in virtual prisons, guarded so well, but when there is a hijack to take place, it will take place outside the gate of the person. With all his security equipment and alarm systems and everything, and even a security officer standing there, but it will take place a few meters away from his gate. Or the killing will take place a few meters away from the person's gate. So it is in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But we must make use of the means. But don't trust in those means. If only we can learn that make use of the means, but don't trust in the means, then if something happens, it will lessen our concern, or it will lessen our burden and lessen our grief, because the person will say that I made use of the means that I had to make use of. Beyond this was not in my control, so whatever has happened, it was the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it was the decision of Allah ta'ala, and I must resign my will to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's will, so it will give him peace of mind. There will be natural grief, but he will still have contentment. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after Masjid al-Aqsa, and that Masjid al-Aqsa we know today is in the hands of whom? And yet that Masjid al-Aqsa, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his time, when the conquest took place, there was no battle also. They said, send your ruler to us, Hazrat Umar must come and he must sign, and we will hand it over. If we find the description exactly according to that which is in our books. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was left with his patched clothes, and his one servant, and a camel. Now that is the Amirul Mu'mineen, whose name used to put shiver into the spines of the rulers of Persia and Rome. Now he is going in that manner for what? For the conquest of Jerusalem. And when he goes there, just before that, it was time for the servant of his to be riding the camel. So he puts him on the camel. He says, no, we are near. He says, no, you sit on the camel. Because little while he is to ride, little while he is to ride. When Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that these people, they look down upon those who dress like this and come. So therefore just sit on a good horse. So they gave him a good horse. So he sat on the good horse and he wore the good clothes. After a little while he jumped off again and he said, bring my own horse, camel. And he said, Nahnu qawmun a'azzana Allahu bil Islam. That we are a people whom Allah ta'ala has given respect because of Islam. We can wear the best of clothes, we can drive the best of cars, we can live in the best of homes. We can have the best of bank balances, and we can have the best of military also. Iraqi army at one time was 1 million people. Before the 91 war, Iraqi army was an army which is, that the terror had reached the hearts of the Jewish state. That is why they wanted to get rid of it. We are not justifying what Saddam Hussein did and his people did. But what I am saying is that at one time he had over 1 million people in his army, well armed. There was no boycott at that time. And also as far as equipment is concerned, as far as missiles are concerned and bombs and everything he had. But what happened? Nothing. Why? Because we are a people whom Allah Ta'ala has given respect with Islam. If there is Islam in our lives, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us respect. If not, then even our children will not respect us. Our wives will not respect us. Our neighbors will not respect us. The society will not respect us. Outside respect, there can be too much. Outward respect, what does it cost? But the hearts will not have love. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, we are a people whom Allah ta'ala has given respect because of Islam. Now when they saw him, they compared what was in the scriptures and they said, yes, this is the person, and they gave it over without any war. And at present again, that is the need of the hour and the time, that the ummah at large has to come back to Islam. Just talking and talking does not get us anywhere. We have become a nation of talk shows. talk and talk and talk. And we give solutions also. But when it comes to Islah, when you say that now make your Islah, start reformation, change your life, give up those girlfriends, throw away that television in which so much of haram and filth is coming into the homes and which is causing such a problem with regards to discipline of the children, and it is taking away the noor, the barakah, the rahmat from the homes, then we say that is very difficult. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was taken above. He says then the Miraj was brought. The Miraj was like a lift, that you press the button and the lift goes up. Now those days they never saw a lift. So they were doubting, how can this happen that within a short time you can go so high? But with the spaceships now they say it is simple, it is easy. Such weighty spaceships just goes in short time and with such speed. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Miraj was brought and he was taken up. I'm just cutting out all the other incidents that took place. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says he was brought up to the first heaven. Now again, to understand that the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxy, the planets, everything is far, far beneath the first heaven. No man has ever reached the first heaven, and he cannot reach it. If science tells us that there are stars which have been discovered, which are thousands of light years away from the earth, and we know the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. The moon is just 240,000 miles away from the earth. It takes about 1.5 seconds for the light to reach the earth. The sun is about 9 million miles away. About 8 seconds time we get the light on the earth. Now there are millions of miles away stars, and light years away, they say. Now just imagine, when will they ever be able to reach them? And also all the discoveries that they are making, every day they say it's a new discovery, a new fact, a new finding. So their finding is not ending, and it will not end, but they will never be able to reach the first heaven. This is all suspended beneath, far beneath the first heaven. The first heaven, that is where the door is, which had to be tapped. And as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was asked that, who is it? He said, Jibreel. He said, who's with you? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Have you been called? He said, yes. The door was open and marhaba and welcome. And also thousands of angels were accompanying Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on this journey. So when the door was open, he said, he meets Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the wahi used to come from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam on the earth. Now this time he is taken above. Now that is where he is made to meet Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam again in the first heaven, although he met them in Masjid Aqsa. So for welcoming again the first heaven was Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, because he is the first man on earth. We are all the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then there's some detail to it, then he goes on to the second. And there he sees Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were troubled by the Jews. They were troubled so much that the Jews thought that they had really crucified Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They were convinced that they crucified him. Although Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They tried to catch him, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala raised him to the heavens. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is shown that just as these people have been troubling Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the same way you will also be troubled by these Jews. However, just as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent his help to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, you will also get the help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Different mu'jizats of different Nabis. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, if he passed his hand over the eyes of a blind person, the person used to begin to see. If the person was dead and he said, Qum bi iznillah, stand up in the name of Allah, then the miracle and mu'jiza of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was, he used to stand up. For a little while at least he used to stand up, as a proof of the nubuwwat, prophethood of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So if Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was one who could bring to life the dead, then Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brought to life the dead hearts. The hearts of the kuffar and the mushrikeen, the Yahud and the Nasara and the munafiqeen, which were dead. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings brought life into those hearts. And not only that, that member of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, next to that there was a palm tree. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to rest his hands on that and perform the khutbah. But when it was cut because the member was made, then it is mentioned in the hadiths, and so many sahabas reported that it cried like a little baby cries. The voice was heard. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got up from the minbar and he passed his hand over it as if you are making a baby go off to sleep. So to put life into a human being who was at one time alive is not so great as putting life into a tree and the tree crying like a baby. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given all the mu'jizas of the Nabis of the past in a different form. Nevertheless, that's a different subject, and if we start going in that direction, then we'll sit here whole night. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then meets in the third heaven Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know that his brothers were very jealous and envious. They wanted to get rid of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam so that they can be the sole recipients of the father's love. And we know that they plotted and planned until they put him into a well. And they distanced him from his father. He was sold in the marketplace, taken to Egypt. ND354986. Going to remove your car, please. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, by meeting him, is shown that your family, the Quraysh of Makkah, the Kuffar, these people are also very jealous of you. And that is why they are putting you through all this trouble and torture. But a day will come, just as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was then made the governor of Egypt and the ruler of Egypt, in the same way you too will be given conquest over the same Makkah Mukarramah from which they are chasing you out. And you will say the same thing, what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, La tasriba alaykum al-yawm, no revenge today, I forgive everyone. So whoever he was meeting, there was some great wisdom behind it. Then meeting Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam in the fourth, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, his elevation was of a height. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is now taking him even above the fourth heaven. There's also so much of detail to it. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meets Hazrat Harun in the fifth, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the sixth, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the seventh. And that is where the Baitul Ma'mur is. Now the same with Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, his people troubled him. Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, his people troubled him. And then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, so he met him on the seventh heaven. He was leaning against the Baitul Ma'mur. The Baitul Ma'mur is right above the Kaaba Sharif. 70,000 angels make tawaf of the Baitul Ma'mur. They don't get another opportunity to make tawaf. So many angels Allah Ta'ala has got. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given five kinds of transport for this Mi'raj journey. First of all, it was the Buraq from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And from there to the first heaven, it was the Mi'raj, the lift. And then above all the heavens, it was the wings of the Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and the angels. And from there onwards up to Sidratul Muntaha, it was Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Then it was the raf-raf which brought him into the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is showing that this is the prophet and the messenger who is the last and the final messenger, and he is the greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is something that every year I repeat, and wallah, every time that I repeat, I just can't help but enjoy that deep in my heart, that description that is given, that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now imagine, after all the trials, torture, hardships, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam still continued with his da'wat, with his tabligh towards Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam continued with his ibadat, with his zikr, with his tilawat. All these things were taking place. Now Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is getting the opportunity of seeing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The eyes of no other Nabi saw Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala directly. Now imagine where he is. He was on the ground. And now where he is, where no one can even imagine. After Sidratul Muntaha, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam also said that if I go a little above this, then I will burn. My wings will burn. I cannot move forward one inch now. He leaves him at Sidratul Muntaha. As some poet says, Sidratul Muntaha par jo pohunche nabi, Sidratul Muntaha par jo pohunche nabi, sar jhuka kar ye Jibreel kehne lage, sar jhuka kar ye Jibreel kehne lage, ya habibe khuda ab siwa aapke isse aage jo jayega jal jayega. So habibe khuda, beyond this any person that will go, he will burn. Now where is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? In that short part of the night, in a little while, he was on Farsh here, next thing is on Arsh. Beyond our imagination, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam talks about the Sidratul Muntaha, that is so beautiful, that is beyond our imagination. It cannot be described. He says it cannot be described. And then he goes in Raf Raf, and 70,000 curtains of Noor before reaching Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now at that time, who remembers anything else? But Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had to present a gift to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, what have you brought for me? When a person goes to the court of kings and rulers, they take some gifts and go. Now here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the provider of every ni'mat that you can think of. What gift does he require? Now what could a person have thought of at that moment? It's so fascinating that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what he presented to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I always say that he could have given a lengthy speech. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says three simple words. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. Three simple little words. All my oral ibadat, my monetary, my physical ibadat, and my monetary ibadat, whatever I did, O my beloved Allah, is all for you. Finish. That was the beautiful speech of Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the presence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We cannot even imagine at that stage to present it in this form. It is another miracle. Just in three words, who could have done this job? It is only the greatness of Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he said, Ya Allah, whatever oral ibadat, my zikr, my tilawat, my nasihat, my waz, my physical ibadat, my namazes, my going and assisting the poor, the needy, the orphan, the widows, whatever good work that I used my body in, and all the monetary ibadat, all the charities, the donations, the assistance, whatever I gave, Ya Allah, everything solely for your pleasure. There was no share in it for anyone else, but, oh Allah, it was solely for you. Now that is the lesson that he taught us in the night of Mi'raj. That we have to distance ourselves from show business. At present, so much of our ibadat is nothing but show business. Most of our jalsas are nothing but show business. Where is that ikhlas left after that? And because of the lack of ikhlas, we don't see the barakat also of all those programs that we have. So much of talk, but we don't find the results. Read that book on ikhlas, that one talk that I gave you in one of the majlises. It's available in the library, free of charge. Alhamdulillah, I have no royalty, no commission. Otherwise you'll say Maulana was advertising his book there and he was getting a little bit of cut and commission on it. So it's free of charge. Until we don't have that ikhlas, we won't see the noor and barakat. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now when he said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala replies, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be on you, O my beloved Nabi. And the rahmat of Allah. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's blessings, mercy and blessings. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that you gave everything to me. You did everything for my pleasure. I too am giving you the best. Salamati on you. Peace. Once you have that peace at heart, then under any condition you will find tranquility and you will find sukoon. Now look at the difficulties that he was going through. Look at the hardships that he was going through. Look at the torture and trials that he was going through. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I'm giving you peace. Now how can we reconcile that? That on the one hand he's going through so much of trials, and on the other hand Allah ta'ala is saying that salamati on you. So that shows that those tortures and that trial and those difficulties, it was not an azab of Allah ta'ala. Because it was not an azab of Allah Ta'ala, it was with Allah Ta'ala's mercy in disguised form. Therefore, inside the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was nothing but tranquility and sukoon. He was a rock of steadfastness. Otherwise, who could have withstood such kind of tortures? So Allah Ta'ala then gives to his walis, to his friends, that sukoon in their hearts, that whatever the condition of the outside world, whether it is poverty or whether there's sickness or whether there's anything, but inside the heart they find a kind of sukoon. They will have pain in the body, they will have restlessness outwardly, but inside the heart there is that connection with Allah Ta'ala, and that gives them sukoon. It is not something that can be described in words. It has got a reality, it's got a haqiqat. One is reality and one is just the surat, just the outward form. I gave that example that if you go to the museum, then you will find a lion there. And there it is written, please don't touch. Now, did you see any lion in Kruger National Park that on its toes it is, or on its leg it is written, please don't touch? So why is it written, please don't touch? Because there's no reality, no haqiqat. It is a surat only. It's stuffed with sawdust. The skin was taken and sawdust was put in there. So now they say, please don't touch. But sometimes even a rat goes and nibbles there. Why? Because there's no life, there's no soul. But when there's reality, then human beings also can't go close. Other animals of the jungle also run far from that lion. So every word has a reality behind it. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he presented that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Mercy of Allah and barakat, plenty of barakat. Now, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and this is something that really fascinates me. We must picture, we must use this imagination of ours which we use for so many haram things, must use it for such kind of things. Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great gift, the gift of imagination. But what we use it for haram fantasizing. Some people, that is the hobby of their lives, fantasizing about haram. So use this imagination that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is there. Now at that moment, who will think of people on the earth? Millions and millions or billions of miles away from the earth is gone. And he is looking at the glory of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the beauty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the grandeur of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is so absorbed in that. Now at that moment, what does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says? As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Allah ta'ala says. So in reply, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. As-salamu alayna, salamati upon us, and on the righteous servants. On all righteous servants up till the day of Qiyamah. Now brothers, if we can just take this one lesson for tonight's program. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there, he said, As-salamu alayna وَعَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. Ya Allah, this peace, this mercy, this blessing, this rahmat, all which you have given to me, I do not want that it should be just limited and restricted to me. I want that every ummati of mine until the day of Qiyamah must enjoy this peace, this tranquility, this sukoon. They must enjoy the barakat in their earnings, barakat in their homes, barakat in their wealth, barakat in their health, barakat in their children. I want that everybody in my ummat, right until the day of Qiyamah, they must get that same rahmat of yours, that mercy of yours. But the condition is ala ibadillahi salihin, the righteous servants. Again, the lesson there for us is this, that if we want peace, if we want mercy of Allah Ta'ala, if we want forgiveness, if we want the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, the barakat from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we will have to remember this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam restricted it to ala ibadillahi salihin. And the Quran Sharif also says in many places, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who have believed and they've done righteous deeds. And righteous deeds means everything that is a person, that a person is ordered to do, namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, fulfillment of the rights of the wives, of the children, of the parents, fulfillment of the rights of the clients and customers, kindness, charity, honesty, truthfulness, whatever a person has been ordered to do, that is all righteous deeds. Now when he does it according to Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructions, then it is righteous deed. It's not only namaz and making tasbih. Now when he does that, then Allah Ta'ala is promising that, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sealed it, that you will get this inshallah in your life, irrespective of which climate and which country and which society and which environment you are living in. It's not that if you are living in the South African environment, then we cannot obey Allah Ta'ala. There will be one or two little problems that a person may face somewhere along the line. But the majority of the things, 99% of it, there will be no problem. Which government of the world, I always say, is restricting us or restraining us in this country from making our 5-time namaz, or from giving our zakat, or from making our hajj, or fasting in Ramadan, or from speaking the truth, or from being charitable, from being honest, from being sincere, from fulfilling the rights of our parents, wives and children? Which government is stopping us? The government has got plenty of legislation in its statute book on homosexuality and on abortion and on gamble and on drink, which is all totally haram. But did it force it down anybody's throat that you must buy those porn films and watch them? You must go to the internet site which is of porn and you must watch it. Which government is forcing us to do that? So if we are chasing the rahmat away from our homes and from our lives, then we have ourselves to blame and nobody else but ourselves to blame. Wallah, the lives of people have become restless, restless. It is as if that sukoon, which was such a great gift of Allah Ta'ala, has vanished altogether. And yet the people say that, which sin did I commit that this is happening to me? I always say we should ask that, which good deed did I do that I'm getting so much of ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala in spite of all my sins? We should look at our sins and see how much Allah Ta'ala is still giving us in spite of our sins. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, therefore, is mentioned there that there were so many things that were shown to him. Just to cut it short now, he was shown Jannat and Jahannam. And this is something that we repeat every time. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that he was shown that people are planting seeds and within seconds the crop grows and they reap. Before their very eyes, everything grows and they reap. They take the harvest home. And again they plant and again it grows within seconds before their very eyes. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told that these are the people who spend out of their earnings in good causes. In Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's way, when they spend, then they reap the reward. Repeatedly Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them the reward. And then two jannats Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give. One jannat in this world, one jannat in the akhirat, for those who are obedient to Allah Ta'ala. So many things were shown to him in jannat. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَعَتْ وَلَا عُزُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرْ, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and thought also didn't strike anybody's mind. Peace, happiness, contentment, enjoyment, no pain, no sickness, no disease, no pride, no arrogance, nobody jealous of you, nobody envious, and no enemy, nothing. Just keep eating and enjoying yourself. That is Jannat. On the other hand, in Jahannam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that people, there are some people, of course it is said that this will be the condition of the people when they will go into Jahannam. But you are shown that this is what will happen. That there were some people that they were made to lie down flat on the ground. Huge boulders were taken and their heads were crushed. After a little while, the head comes right again. The angels repeat the process. They keep crushing, the head comes right. They crush, the head comes right. The person keeps screaming and shouting for no more. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told that these are the people who neglect their salat, who neglect their namaz. Their heads used to become very heavy at the time of namaz. And that was the gift of the Mi'raj, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given salat. First it was 50 times, then it was reduced until it came to 5 times. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this namaz is that dividing factor. It differentiates between a believer and a disbeliever. And I have mentioned in many, many bayans and of Mi'raj and other times when speaking on namaz, that we are very lucky that Hazrat Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he interprets the or gives the meaning of that hadith, man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar. The person who forgoes one salat purposely has committed kufr. Now that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says what it means is he has committed an act which is very similar to that of the kuffar, but he does not become a kafir. But Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi and most of those who are in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Tayyibah, they are Hanbalis. They follow Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi was also the follower of Hazrat Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi also follows that same fiqh and fatwa. So they say, no, that person has definitely, most certainly gone out of the pale of Islam. His marriage has ended, and if he has to die in that state, don't even bury him in the Muslim graveyard. Just imagine what a dangerous thing it would have been if only there was no difference of opinion between these imams. How many of us, we just forgo our salat without any reason. Our cricket, our soccer, and our television and our other programs and our weddings and our walimas and the namazes are all sacrificed. We put the knife over the salats. So this is the lesson that we have to take in this program, that at least we make our niyyah that, Ya Allah, whatever has happened, but now we are making our mind that we will not forego our salat. At least start off with 5 times salat. Imagine if hundreds of thousands of Muslims from all sides are leaving their homes, Fajr time, Zohar time, Maghrib time, Isha time. What an impression and what an impact that will have on even the disbelievers. But at present they see there's hardly anybody coming out, so it doesn't even cause any impact on their hearts. There's so much that we can speak of salat, but I'm not going into that subject. What I'm saying, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he saw that people were lying on the ground, women, they were placed on their stomachs, and whips of fire were used to whack them and beat them up. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told, these are the prostitutes of your ummah. The women who used to sell their bodies, or those women who used to commit adultery, this is their punishment. Now, how many people are caught up in adultery, in fornication? It is like a scourge of our society. And we don't even take it as a serious thing. Yet when the person is committing adultery, his iman leaves his body and hangs above. And if his death has to come in that state, that means he has died without iman. And I always say, and I relate that incident of that young person that I met on the flight. He was going to Hong Kong, I was going to Karachi. But I can't forget that what he told me. He says that, Maulana, when I'm going to Hong Kong, I got your tapes with me of zikr and bayan. When I will reach the hotel there, first thing I will put on this tape. And I will listen to it. Then it puts me into the right frame of mind. Because there's so much of temptation there. So there you always say, oh Allah, don't let the angel of death find me in adultery or fornication or in gambling or drinking or any kind of haram. So it puts your mind in the right frame. So it is something that we must restrain ourselves from, because these days deaths are coming suddenly. And the angel of death will not inform us that I will come and take your soul at a certain place, certain time. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown people with huge bellies. They are trying to get up, but they can't get up. They fall again. And it is as if there's a glass casing. From there you can see snakes and scorpions in their stomachs. Huge snakes and scorpions. He said, "Oh Jibreel, who are these people?" He said, "These are the people of your ummah who devour interest. They take interest. They charge interest on the loans that they give. And they think that we are getting rich. This is the punishment in the akhirat. And in this world also, the severe punishment. No barakat in that person's earnings." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that there were some people that their throats were being squeezed. They scream, they shout. Again it is released by the angels and again the same thing is done. In another hadith it is mentioned that the throats were being cut. Again it comes right, then again it's cut. Who are these people? He said, "These are the people who used to create fitna and mischief with their talks, with their speeches. They used to make people fight and argue and quarrel. They used to create fitna, political platform, this platform, that platform, just such speeches which lights up fire in the society. This is their punishment. Then there were people with their tongue, with their lips hanging, and it is being sliced with scissors of fire." Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu, when he is seeing the condition of his ummah in this state, what must have crossed his mind? That ummah for whom I made so much of sacrifices, that ummah for whom so much of my blood was shed, that ummah for whom I suffered so much, and that ummah today in adultery, in fornication, in cinemas, in theatres, in casinos and in discos, is that the ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked that, "Who are these people?" He said, "These are the fitna mongers amongst your ummah. They carry tales from this side to that side to this side and make them fight." So this is their punishment here. Or those wise of your ummah, those who used to give speeches, but never used to make amal on those speeches. So the fitna mongers, they used to carry tales, they used to take any story that they get, as long as they heard some gossip for the day, so they must carry it out. No matter how much of lie there must be in it, no truth in it, but they will convey it, without verifying, without really checking. Just because the newspaper reported it, so therefore it's the truth and nothing but the truth. It's wahi, Jibreel alayhi salam brought. And yet we know how many times they say that it was lies. So the moment we just read that somebody was arrested for something, then we have gone to a conclusion that that person definitely committed that crime. We don't wait for any court case, we don't wait for any hearings, nothing. Now this is very dangerous, it is slander, it is scandal. So some people, they have that habit, that anything they hear, it is the truth, nothing but the truth. Like there was one person, very bola bala person, the people used to tease him and make a mockery of him. Because he used to believe everything. He was very bola. Anything you tell him, he believes it. So he traveled out of India and he went somewhere. So somebody wrote a letter to him. They wrote a letter to him that your wife has become a widow. So he started crying. He started crying for no more. They said, "Why are you crying?" He says, "My wife has become a widow." He said, "But you are alive, how can your wife be a widow?" He said, "Yeah, but the person who wrote the letter is a very honest person." So he said, "The person who wrote the letter is a very truthful person. So if he has written that she's become a widow, then even if I'm alive, she must have become a widow." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that they are the fitna mongers amongst you. Then there are people that is nice, good, delicious meat on one side, full of aroma, and but they are deprived of that. And there's on the other side filthy, dirty, stinking meat. It is being forced down their throats. Said, "Ya Rasulullah, Rasulullah asked Jibreel, who are these people?" He said, "These are the people in your ummah who commit zina. They have wives who are halal. They leave their halal wives and go for haram. Then this is their punishment in the akhirah." Like that, so many other things were shown to him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he returned, and when he informed the people, then they rejected whatever he said. The one that immediately accepted everything was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he said that, "If I have already believed that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes so many times down on the ground with wahi, then what is it difficult for me to believe that one time he took him up?" Because Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam received wahi 4 times. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam 12 times. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam 50 times. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam 500 times. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam 41 times. And Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, according to one riwayat, 124,000 times, that is Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came up and down, up and down. Sometimes a person just asked a question and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came to inform him and tell him this answer. And 124,000 times if Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, and according to another riwayat, 12,400 times, whatever it is. But if he came so many times to the ground, then what is the one time he took him up? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now they started asking him questions about Masjid al-Aqsa. If you went there, then how many windows there and how many pillars there and how much... Now who goes to a masjid to go and start counting pillars and fans and windows and... But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala placed Masjid al-Aqsa in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and as he was looking, he was telling them. Now those days this was impossible to believe. Now with the television, now everybody believes it, that there can be something millions of miles away, but you can see it here. So Allah ta'ala is giving man that intelligence, that he'll come up with inventions of such a kind that he will disprove his own theories. Well, I will conclude here, because I too am feeling a bit weak and tired today. Whatever has been said, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. The main thing is that we must implement in our lives the teachings of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And especially this namaz is the first thing that we have to bring in our lives, whether we like it or not. We have to put those alarms to get up in the mornings and make it to the masjid. If a whole population starts going to the masjid, then even the hijackings will be reduced, because they will see that now so many people are coming up in the morning. So one will go past, another one will be coming just now, another one will be coming. But at present one person is coming out and is quiet, nobody else is coming out. So the Fajr namaz also, we have to bring it into our lives. I always say that keep two alarms. If you can't get up, then keep two alarms. And keep them away from the bed. Don't keep it right there, so that in your sleep also you put that alarm off. And if a person is short of hearing in the right ear, then don't put it near there. Put it on the other side. Put both alarms on the other ear where he listens quite well. Or sleep with the hearing aid and then put the alarm. But get up. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the position of salat in the deen is like the head in the human body. Without that there's no human being without the head. Now these days Muslims are complaining, we are being crushed, we are being trampled, we are being tortured, we are being shot, we are being killed. Everything we are complaining of. But if there's no head, then there's no life. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is conveying to us the message that if you don't have salat, and he's not talking about exceptions that 50 people or 100 people are making salat. Every individual who is baligh, who is of mature of age, has to make salat. It's not like a question of salatul janaza that a few people make it and the rest are absolved. It's for everybody. So at least the majority of the Muslims, when they will have heads in their deen, then after that Allah Ta'ala will protect that body. But if there's no head there, then you haven't seen people employing guards and security and giving great respect to a body which has got no head. If somebody has to take a knife and stab that body where there's no head, then he will be charged sometimes probably for disrespect or something, but he's not going to be charged for murder. So now in the majority of the ummah, if there's no head left, then what else do we expect? Nevertheless, we should make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he bless us and bless the entire ummah with the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث. Ey Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, O my compassionate, kind, loving Allah. O my most beautiful Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, we are your sinful servants. We are extremely sinful, O my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, we are extending our begging bowls before you. You dearly love the forgiveness of sins of sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. O my beloved Allah, we are extremely weak. Forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O my beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. Ya Allah, there is no one for us besides you. O my beloved Allah, you took Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Mi'raj. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us of what he saw in Jannat and in Jahannam. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back with the gift of Salat. But oh Allah, even that Salat is not in our lives. And if we are making Salat, there's no khushu and khuzu in that Salat. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the weakness and shortcomings. Whatever life is gone, is gone. But Ya Allah, the life that remains, give us the tawfiq of doing that which is pleasing to you. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, open the doors of your forgiveness for us. Open the doors of your mercy for us. Open the doors of your mercy for us. Open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Oh my beloved Allah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is suffering all over the world. Ya Allah, in Palestine, in Chechnya, in Bosnia, in Afghanistan, in Kashmir, in India, in Pakistan, in all parts of the world, oh Allah, that ummah which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left on the pedestal of honor and dignity, Ya Allah, that ummah is suffering. Ya Allah, we know that it is because of our sins that we are suffering. Oh my beloved Allah, but who is there to forgive us besides you? There is no one for us besides you. If you turn away your glance of forgiveness for us, then oh my Allah, who is there for us? Ey Allah, tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Oh my beloved Allah, there is no one for us besides you. Ya Allah, don't turn away your glance of rahmat and forgiveness from us. Ya Allah, if a beggar is chased from one home, he can go to another. If a dog is kicked from one butcher, it can still go to another. But oh my Allah, if you have to turn away your glance of forgiveness and mercy, then who do we go to? There is no other door for us that we can tap. There is no other home for us in which we can beg. Oh my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness. Forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, oh my most loving Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive the sins of our eyes, the sins of our ears, the sins of our tongues, the sins of our hands and feet, the sins of our heart and mind. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us, the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Ya Allah, you who blessed us with sight, we considered you as being blind and everyone else of sight. We look right, we look left, that our parents must not see us, our family members must not see us, our friends must not see us, the society must not see us when we indulge in adultery, in fornication, in drinking, in gambling, in popping drugs. But oh Allah, the only one we think who is blind is you. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the realization that you are aware of everything that we have done and everything that we are doing. Even if there is a tiny little black ant that is crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. Oh my beloved Allah, how can you not be aware of our movements? It is your compassion, your kindness and your tolerance that you do not seize us there and then. Ya Allah, distance us from sins. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Shaitan wants to drag us down the gutters. Shaitan wants to drag us into Jahannam. Ya Allah, take us on the road that leads to you. Take us on the road that leads to Madina Sharif. Take us on the road that leads to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, clean and purify our hearts of malice. Purify our hearts of greed. Purify our hearts of evil lust and passions. Purify our hearts of envy and jealousy. Purify our hearts of pride and arrogance. Oh my beloved Allah, fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa. Fill our hearts with the noor of iman. Fill our hearts with the noor of yaqeen. Fill our hearts with the noor of trust in you. Ya Allah, give us your closeness. Give us such a bond with you, my Allah. Give us such a bond with you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Ya Allah, give us such a bond with you. Ya Allah, when a person sticks two pages with glue, and afterwards he tries to separate the pages will tear to pieces, but they will not separate. Ya Allah, let our hearts be attached with you in that manner, that it will tear up apart, but it will not separate from you. Make us the fish that swims deep down in your ocean of marifat. Ya Allah, bless us with long life. Bless us with good health. Bless our children with good health. Our family members with good health. Ya Allah, we are spiritually sick and we are physically sick. Ya Allah, cure us of our physical ailments and our spiritual ailments. Ya Allah, sometimes physical ailments can be a rahmat in disguise. But we are extremely weak, O Allah. Do not test us with any kind of sickness. O my Allah, bless us all with cure from all ailments. Whether they are in hospitals, give them cure. If they are sick at home, give them cure. Ey mere pyare khuda, shifa lies in your hands. Ya Allah, cure lies in your hands. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur. Marizo ki shifa lekin dast-e khuda mein hai. Oh my beloved Allah, cure us from all our ailments. Ya Allah, bless us with prosperity. Bless each and every one of us with prosperity. Prosperity in this world, prosperity in the qabr, prosperity in the akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with happiness. Bless us with contentment. Bless us with satisfaction. Bless us with joy. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Our students who are writing exams, O Allah, give them success. Ya Allah, make them an asset for the community. Ya Allah, save them from the fitnas on the campuses and at the colleges and universities. Oh my beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of akhirat. Oh my beloved Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered so much. Ya Allah, so much of his blood was shed in Taif. His shoes be filled with his Mubarak blood. Ya Allah, when he went for Salat, when he went into Sajda, intestines of animals were thrown on his back. His beloved little daughter used to say, oh my father, why are they doing this to you? She used to remove it from his back. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is stoned. In Uhud, he falls down unconscious. His teeth are shattered. Ya Allah, 3 solid years boycotted and ostracized. The time comes when they have to chew leather to survive and chew the leaves of trees for the survival. Ya Allah, he stands whole night in prayer praying for us. Today when he is informed that that ummat for whom you shed so much of your blood, that ummat for whom so much of your tears were shed, that ummat in the casinos, that ummat in the discos, that ummat in the theatres, that ummat in the cinemas, that ummat in fraud, that ummat in adultery and fornication, that ummat in drugs, that ummat in all kinds of vices, just a few meters away from your Rosa Mubarak, just a few meters away from your Rosa Mubarak, the filthiest of films can be seen in Madina Sharif, the filthiest of music can be heard, just a few meters away from the Kaabatullah, the filthiest of music can be heard, the filthiest of films can be seen in the hotels. Ay mere Allah, when he is informed of the condition, how much of pain and suffering we are causing to him. Ya Allah, during his lifetime, the kuffar, the mushriki, the yahood, the nasara caused him suffering. Ya Allah, today our actions are causing him suffering. But tonight, oh Allah, we make tawbah from all our sins. Ya Allah, we make sincere tawbah from our sins. We don't want to return to those sins anymore. We want a life of peace and happiness and contentment. We want a life of ibadat and zikr and tilawat. Ya Allah, we want a life of sukoon. Oh my beloved Allah, accidentally if we commit some sin, we'll make tawbah again. But we have no intention of returning to those sins anymore. Ya Allah, accept our tawbah. Oh Allah, accept our tawbah. Ya Allah, bless us with the barakat in our homes, barakat in our wealth, barakat in our lives, barakat in our earnings. Ya Allah, bless us with barakat in everything that you bless us with. Oh my beloved Allah, we know that barakat does not come with sins. Ya Allah, when our homes are on interest, when our carpets are on interest, when our curtains are on interest, when our furniture is on interest, when even our food is on interest, when our clothes are on interest, when our car's on interest, then how can we get rahmat and barakat? But O Allah, we have realized our weakness and sins. Provide for us, O Allah, plentiful of halal risk and sustenance, and get us out from our financial problems and difficulties. Ay mere pyare khuda, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial problems, give them plentiful of halal and get them out of their difficulties. Ya Allah, those who are suffering depression, give them joy and happiness. Ya Allah, those who are suffering depression, give them joy and happiness. O Allah, those who have got no children, bless them with pious children. And those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evil, Ya Allah, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, remove the suffering and the difficulty of the ummah. Ya Allah, give hidayat and open the eyes of the enemies to the beautiful teachings of Islam. Ya Allah, we have become the obstacles. But Ya Allah, open their eyes to the beauties of Islam. Bless them with Islam and Iman. Let the winds of hidayat blow throughout the continents. But O Allah, if hidayat is not in their muqaddar, they have become obstinate and they have made up their minds that they will create problems for the ummah. Then O Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Ya Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and Samud. O Allah, let their planes crash in the mountains. O Allah, cause their ships to sink. Send gale force winds against them. Cause earthquakes and tremors for them. Ya Allah, create division and disunity among the ranks of the soldiers and the people. Ay mere Allah, you are the same Allah that was in Badr, that was in Uhud, that was in Khandaq, that was in Fateh Makkah. Allah Rasul Pak, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, the angel of death is definitely going to visit us. Every day we are seeing janazas proceeding towards the graveyard. One day our time is going to come. Ya Allah, these hands will move no more. Our feet will walk no more. Our tongues will wag no more. Our rings will be removed from our fingers. Ya Allah, the watches will be removed from the wrists. Ya Allah, fashionable clothes will be sliced with the scissors. Ya Allah, at that time our eyes will not be able to see any more haram. Ya Allah, Mayyad Ghusl will be given to us. Ya Allah, we'll be turned from right to left and left to right. And we will not be able to say anything or do anything. Allah, before that water is poured over our bodies, let us pour the water of Tawbah over our hearts. Ya Allah, before the garment of kafan is put over our bodies, let us put the garment of taqwa above our hearts. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, in a cinema, in a theater, popping drugs in our mouths, or in adultery or fornication, or watching some filthy movie, or on the porn site in the internet, or reading some filthy magazine. Ya Allah, when the angel of death visits us, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Let our death be in Madina Tayyiba, at the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasul Allah on our lips, let our soul come dancing towards you, O my Allah. Let our soul come dancing towards you, O my Allah. Give us burial in Jannatul Baqi, so that when the winds of rahmat blow over that graveyard, we too get forgiven. Ay Allah, those who are looking for marriage partners, bless them with good marriage partners. Ya Allah, all our youth, give them good marriage partners. Ay mere pyare khuda, so that it will be a protection from zina for them. Ay mere pyare khuda, give us the tawfiq to implement in our lives the teachings of yours and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his entire life he made duas for us. Especially in Hajjatul Wada, his final pilgrimage, with his 124,000 shining stars. Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so much he prayed for us, so much he prayed for us. Ya Allah, Rasul Pak, after kissing the Hajri Aswad, the duas that he made, after touching the Rukne Yamani, the duas that he made for us, under the Mizame Rahmat, oh Allah, how much he cried for us. Ya Allah, the duas that he made in Hatim for us, the duas that he made at the Multazam when he attached himself, with his hands above his shoulders, how long he cried, oh my Allah, that his ihram became wet with his tears. Allah, for whom was that sinless Nabi crying? Ah, my Allah, how much he cried for us behind the Muqam Ibrahim, after drinking Zamzam on Safa and Marwa, at Mina and in Arafat. Ya Allah, from Zohar till Maghrib, he prayed for us. Ya Allah, how much he begged for us. in Muzdalifa. May Allah bless us with all the goodness that He asked for us. Bless our parents with that goodness, our wives and children with that goodness, and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that He asked for protection, Ya Allah, protect us and protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, Huzur Paak Swasam ke sadqe mein hamari dua qubool farma. Agar ek tu nahi bera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu bera to sab bera, falak bera, zameen meri. Koi mujhse poochhe main kya maangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda maangta hu. Koi mujhse poochhe main kya maangta hu, main apne khuda se khuda maangta hu. Woh ho jaye mera, main ho jaun uska. Yehi raat din mein dua maangta hu. Oh Allah, that you become ours and we become yours. Day and night we are asking that dua. Allah hamara ban ja aur hame apna bana le. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.